Now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett, honored to have you join me again this week. Before we start, I want to apologize for my voice. Leslie and I spent Memorial Weekend in Arizona visiting some of our grandkids. And as luck would have it, I caught a cold while we were there, and I brought it back to Texas with me. And I'm feeling better. My voice doesn't. My lungs are a little aggravated. My sinuses are still a little clogged up. Boy, the flight home, there was so much pressure in my ears, I couldn't hardly hear Leslie complain about my driving. So it wasn't all bad. But I'm on the road to recovery. I would really appreciate if you would pray for rapid recovery for me, and Leslie's starting to get it too, so if you would hold her up in your prayers, we'd greatly appreciate it. Now, I've got a huge program this week, and I've got a lot to get to. This one is going to be Heavenly Fortunes, Striking Gold in the Name of Faith. You know, religion's influence in modern society is undeniable. Its presence has become a significant business enterprise. With the advent of films, books, radio shows, TV programs, social media, the dissemination of gospel messages has become more widespread and profitable than ever before. Today I want to discuss some of the wealthiest pastors globally, showcasing the vast wealth amassed by these so-called spiritual leaders. The staggering net worth of these leaders will probably leave you astonished. Most of the United States' wealthiest pastors preached the prosperity gospel. They would argue that their extravagant wealth is not only morally justified, but it is in fact perfectly biblical and material proof of God's divine blessings. Critics contend that it's simply hypocritical to preach the gospel of Jesus while flying via private jets, living in million-dollar mansions, and driving six-figure cars. How can they ask a struggling parishioner to donate their last dollar when living such lavish lifestyles? The irony is not lost on me. It is so hypocritical. And some say that these ultra-wealthy pastors are giving ordained ministers a bad name. And I want to talk to you about Matthew. Grab your King James Bible and go to Matthew 20. Read 1 through 14. This parable reinforces Jesus' teachings regarding true Christian service and riches. The householder is Christ himself. He is the master of the vineyard. And the field of labor is service to the world through his church. And he goes out and he hires workers at dawn. And then he goes out later and he hires more workers. These people are standing around. They're not lazy. They're just looking for work. And he hires additional workers, 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., and 5 p.m. And the pay scale is whatsoever is right. This indicates Christ's justice to his laborers. When the evening comes, that's the end of the day, every man is paid the same wage. the first hired laborers murmured against the goodman. But he reminded them that he had been just in paying them what they bargained for. And the statement, I will give unto this last, even as unto thee, is Jesus' interpretation of the last shall be first and the first last. This is very powerful. He paid an honest wage for the labor. And the labor is us getting out and preaching the gospel message to every person around the world. But it wasn't millions of dollars. It was a penny a day. That was the going rate. A penny a day. And it was fair because they were all doing the same labor. Some did it longer. Some did it less time. But as we come towards the end of days, this is going to play out again. There are those who worked in the field, like Tex Mars, many, many years, like Chuck Baldwin. And then there's Pastor Matt First, who is younger. And he hasn't worked as hard in the fields as Tex and Pastor Chuck. But he has still worked in the field. And everybody will get theirs. And ideally, what is it we want? Do we want riches on earth? Or do we want them in heaven? Let's go to 1 Timothy 6, verses 3 through 10. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing. From such withdraw thyself. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. For the love of money is the root of all evil. That is a fact. The love of money. And when you start talking about the prosperity teachers, Paul Crouch, Benny Hinn, Kenneth Copeland, Jesse Duplantis, so many others, they're on this list that I'm going to talk about today. But it flies in the face of what Paul is teaching here, a prosperity gospel. Now, I didn't put Paul Crouch in this list. But he is notable in the many sayings on his TV show about money. And I've got some clips that I want to play for you that emphasize this point. Paul Crouch was about the money, not about saving souls.
Now, I know the heretic hunters are going to have me on the spit barbecue for this, but let me tell you. You didn't get into church in the Old Testament unless you had a gift. You didn't get through the door. You were not welcome into the church, into the tabernacle, into the temple. That was the price of admission. You came to God only if you had a gift in your hand for Him.
You had to bring a gift to get into the temple. And Paul was blasphemous when he said this.
You know what else that has settled then tonight? This hue and cry and controversy that has been spawned by the devil to try and bring dissension within the body of Christ, that we're gods. I am a little God. I have His name. I'm one with Him. I'm in covenant relationship. I am a little God.
Now, I can't tell if he's saying I'm a living God or a little God. But, Paul, you're supposed to be a teacher. Sorry. I hope you're warm. And this is probably one of the most blasphemous things that anybody ever said on TV. This is Paul Crouch once again.
And I want to say to all you scribes, Pharisees, heresy hunters, all of you that are going around picking little bits of doctrinal error out of everybody's eyes and dividing the body of Christ and arguing over splinters and doctrinal hairs and dissipating and wasting all of our time when the world's going to hell, I say get out of God's way. Quit blocking God's bridges, for God's going to shoot you if I don't. I'm tired of scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites blocking God's bridges when the harvest is perishing out there and God's calling the body to come together. Let him sort out all this doctrinal doo-doo. I don't care about it.
So, splitting hairs on doctrine. The only doctrine that Paul Crouch had was man-made. It wasn't biblical. I'm sorry if you thought the world of Paul Crouch. I did not. And the fact that he said, if God doesn't shoot you, I'd like to. That's, how do you save a soul if you want to shoot him? Come on. And this is another so-called pastor, leader, that came on his show and had this to say.
Poverty can make your word be ignored. You want to talk about a blessing? It's a blessing whenever you start to tell somebody how to get saved and they sit down and they want to hear it. It's quite something else when they look at you and say, man, I don't want what you got. You saved? Wow. Well, let me tell you something. I don't want to live like you live and have to drive around like you drive around. Listen to it. Your words are not heard when you walk in insufficiency, when you walk in poverty.
Your words are not heard when you walk in insufficiency and poverty. You came into this world with nothing and you leave with nothing. Do you want to store treasure in heaven? Or do you want to amass millions of dollars here on earth? It's just so disturbing, the prosperity gospel doctrine that these false teachers put out there. Jim Baker made the list. Now, his estimated worth right now is about $500,000. But at one time, it was between $5 and $10 million. He was one of the luminaries in televangelism. But he was convicted of fraud. There was a sexual assault allegation that he attempted to unlawfully cover up. And there were conspiracy charges. This affected his reputation and his fortune. Jim served nearly 5 years in prison. Then there's Richard Rossi, estimated worth of $1 million. He started his ministerial journey in Pittsburgh area in the 1980s. In 94, he was accused of attempting to murder his wife. He pleaded no contest to second-degree aggravated assault charges and served 96 days behind bars. She refused to press charges. She recanted her testimony. Well, he transitioned to Hollywood and assumed the role of pastor for the stars. And then he delved into the entertainment industry, securing roles in several films. He penned a couple screenplays and authored a book. But he sold out and went to Hollywood. Paul Kane, who is deceased, was estimated to be worth $1 million. He was born to Anna Kane. Anna was grappling with cancer and tuberculosis during her pregnancy. There was an angelic encounter reportedly healing Anna and led her to firmly believe Paul was chosen for a ministerial calling. He eventually led massive ministries, drawing crowds exceeding 30,000 people. In 94, Kane publicly shared his personal battles with homosexuality and alcoholism. In one video I saw, he prophesied that Joseph Prince, he'll be on the list later, would be a spiritual leader. But this one shocked me. He anointed Todd Bentley. Tex Mars exposed Todd at the Lakeland Revival. Listen to this.
And Lord, you have never allowed me to say that I have met the new breed. Absolutely. And when you brought Todd Bentley and I together, the angel of the Lord said, you found what you're looking for. And I couldn't believe it when people were criticizing Todd. I've never met anyone that has the integrity and the possibilities of leading this thing into a worldwide revival.
Wow. Words from a homosexual and alcoholic. I trust his judgment. Not. Then we move on to Al Sharpton, estimated to be worth about $2 million. He is allegedly a Baptist minister. He's a civil rights activist. He's on TV. He founded the National Action Network, which is a nonprofit that benefits from generous contributions from leading corporations. From this organization, Sharpton draws a salary of $241,000. To me, Al Sharpton is a racist, mainly because we read in the Bible that God is no respecter of persons. But every chance Sharpton gets, he's denigrating whites instead of preaching for everybody. Then we come up to Jack Van Impe. Estimated worth before he passed was $2.5 million. He self-proclaimed himself the Walking Bible. He had a television program called Jack Van Impe Presents. He was a Christian Zionist. He continually preached Jews were God's chosen people, but he also embraced Catholicism and the Pope. I've got a clip of Jack for you.
The Catholic Church has it right. They don't. And in point 739 of the Catholic Catechism, and this is approved by Pope John Paul, I love it, he says, the foundation of this new holy city that descends from heaven will represent the names of the 12 tribes of Israel forever.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He's got it right. The rest of them have it wrong, and I'm going to fight it. Now, all you Protestants who are preaching that God is through with the Jew forever, remember, in Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8, Israel is the apple of God's eye.
Yes.
Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14, Israel is God's wife, along with Hosea 2, 19, and she's his wife forever and forever. In Isaiah 42, 1, 45, 4, chapter 65, verses 9 and 22, four times, God calls Israel his elect. His chosen, Deuteronomy 7:7. God wrote 66 books of the Bible, and believe it or not, 46 were written by Jews. Only two, Luke and Acts, was written by a Gentile. Everything about the Bible is Jewish.
You notice he didn't preach anything about Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. You know, most of these Christian Zionists don't teach that, ever. Then we go to Nicole Mitchell, estimated between $1 and $3 million. She gave her final sermon in a Baptist church in 2017. She went to LGBT theater night and began a deeper exploration and acceptance of her own sexuality. So she left the pulpit and became a pornographer on OnlyFans, selling her body, pictures of, and whatever else they do on that smut application. Chasing money. So now everybody's looking at her wares, and she's thinking she's all that, I guess. Sad. Leroy Jenkins has passed away, but he was estimated to be worth about $4 million. He was a televangelist during the 1970s. And he had a distinct approach to faith healing. He used miracle water that was sourced from a well that was situated on his religious establishment. It was called the Healing Waters Cathedral. He incorporated this miracle water into his sermons and faith healing practices. But he was convicted of conspiracy to commit arson in 1979. He was acquitted on a federal tax evasion charge in Ohio in 1993, and he was later pardoned for the arson charge. But this is a so-called Christian leader. Another so-called Christian leader was Tony Campolo. He's passed away. Estimated worth $4 million. He was the spiritual counselor to U.S. President Bill Clinton during his time in office. Campolo advocated for progressive changes within the American evangelical Christian community. But when you read up on Tony, you find out that he did not have a biblical testimony of salvation. Instead, he practiced a Catholic mysticism. That's how he says he came to know God, through Catholic mysticism. And he was one of the infiltrators bringing in liberal doctrine into the church. He claimed that homosexuals are born that way, and we need to accept them. Not somebody I want to follow. Then let's go to Trump's spiritual advisor, Paula White, estimated worth about $5 million. She is known for championing the prosperity doctrine. Some have labeled her a charlatan and a heretic. She is an ardent Christian Zionist. And I've got a collage of Paula White talking about being the spiritual advisor at the White House and a number of other things.
Wherever I go, God rules. When I walk on White House grounds, God walks on White House grounds. I had every right and authority to declare the White House as holy ground because I was standing there, and where I stand is holy.
To say no to President Trump would be saying no to God.
Here's this former messed up Mississippi girl, lived in a trailer that they called trailer trash. Daddy committed suicide, got pregnant out of wedlock, been married, been divorced, not just once.
There's a Department of Treasury in heaven that God is watching over everything you do, and you are storing up eternal treasure that will go so far beyond, I think, that we can even begin to imagine. You need to send in $3,500. You need to send in $35,000. You need to send in that $100,000 check. If you do not write that P.O. box and you do not call that toll-free number and you do not become a ministry of sustainer, you will never see sustainment in your life. And your dream will die. Your call will die.
Wow. The audacity of these prosperity doctrine preachers, so-called preachers. John Hagee's worth about $5 million. He founded Cornerstone Church in San Antonio. He is a fervent supporter of Israel. He founded Christians United for Israel, and he wrote a book, In Defense of Israel. And this commercial was, it shocked me when I first heard it, but then when you find out who John Hagee is, it makes sense.
I'm delighted to present my latest book, In Defense of Israel. It scripturally proves that the Jewish people as a whole did not reject Jesus as Messiah. It will also prove that Jesus did not come to earth to be the Messiah. Since Jesus refused by word and deed to claim to be the Messiah, how can the Jews be blamed for rejecting what was never offered?
Oh, John, I hope you repent. We go to Noel Jones, also worth about $5 million. He's into the prosperity doctrine. He has been heavily criticized for his lavish lifestyle. He took on the role of bishop at the Greater Bethany Community Church in Los Angeles. At his commencement, the church had a membership of 1,000. Under his leadership, it flourished and now boasts a congregation of a remarkable 17,000. All chasing the dollar. The aforementioned Joseph Prince, senior pastor of New Creation Church in Singapore, he hosts a religious program destined to reign and is a prolific author of so-called Christian books. He is a prosperity gospel teacher. And I saw a clip where he talked about the fishes and the loaves and how everybody got all they wanted. And he thinks that this is proof that you can have all you want right here. But he, you know, this is John chapter 6, but he didn't go down to verse 25 and 26, where John wrote, "And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." He refuses to acknowledge that he's not looking for Jesus. He's looking for fulfillment here on earth, not treasures in heaven. Goodness. And so many people fall for this stuff. And we're going to finish this half with Joyce Meyer. Estimated worth about $8 million. Could be more. She's been Time Magazine's 25 most influential evangelicals in America. She initiated the television ministry with her husband, enjoying everyday life. She is on multiple media platforms. She enjoys a luxurious lifestyle, as all these prosperity gospel teachers are. She has a $10 million jet. She has homes with values reaching $2 million. She drives a lavish $107,000 silver Mercedes sedan. Who knows what else she owns? But that seems to be the way it is with these prosperity gospel teachers, preachers, so-called preachers. Instead of worrying about saving souls, they want to sell you this feel-good message, tell you that you need to give me money, give me money, give me money, and sell tickets by the thousands. And people eat this up. And so many are misled by these wolves in sheep's clothing. You know, Tex did an outstanding documentary called The Blind and the Dead. It is my favorite documentary that Tex ever did. And he did some wonderful work. But this documentary hit home with me because I had flipped through TBN and watched some of these televangelists on TV, and I just could not shake the feeling that they were not what they pretended to be. And it was troubling my soul when I doubted that these were sincere pastors, preachers. And then I looked at the backdrop, and they're sitting in gold leaf chairs, and they're wearing expensive clothing, and they constantly talk about money, 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 money. On the other side of this break, I'm going to tell you how to get your copy of The Blind and the Dead, this outstanding documentary by Tex Mars. He exposes these charlatans, these money grubbers. I think Jesus threw out the money changers in the temple. So I don't covet money, not personally. You know, the ministry needs it to survive, to keep spreading the message, to keep printing our newsletters. But personally, God takes care of all of my needs. He even provides some of my wants. And that's all I care about. I don't need a $600,000 car. I don't need a private jet. Sandra doesn't either. We drive sensible vehicles. We don't live in mansions. Now, I've got 5 acres out in the middle of the country. It's beautiful out here. I love it. Sandra's got her house. Our bills are paid. And we are ever thankful for you to continue supporting what Tex Mars began, lo, those many years ago. I have to take a brief pause now. When I come back, we're going to dive right back in. I want to thank you for tuning in and giving me a little bit of your time. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us, won't you? I'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. I have to tell you about my favorite documentary that Tex Mars ever did, entitled The Blind and the Dead, Greedy Evangelists and Religious Charlatans Leading the World into a Spiritual Wasteland. Benny Hinn, Paul and Jan Crouch, Steve Brock, Steve Hill, John Avanzini, Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, Rodney Howard Brown, and a host of other famous name Christian televangelists and charismatic leaders have been exposed. You'll be shocked. You'll be stupefied. You will be appalled, disgusted, and saddened all in one as you watch the outrageous antics of well-known so-called Christian celebrities and their untold thousands of gullible followers. You'll shake your head in dismay as you see men barking like dogs, being led around on leashes. You'll see women howling like wolves and braying like donkeys. You will hear profanity shouted from the pulpit. You'll recoil in astonishment to discover supposed Christian leaders scoffing at Bible doctrine. A televangelist and his associates sharing an opium smoking pipe. Possessed people slithering like serpents at crusades, and thousands of worshipers blasphemously speaking in false tongues and breaking out in roaring, hysterical laughter. Tex Mars exposes this and does an outstanding job. There is video of these fake so-called Christians leaders. Actual video to back up what Tex says. And Tex quotes the Bible, leading into each segment, so you can see exactly how misguided the followers of these so-called leaders are. This is a 60-minute documentary DVD. We're only asking $25. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That will make your total $31 for The Blind and the Dead. You can order your copy by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. Again, that's 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. If you care to order online, you can go to our secure shopping cart at powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. There's an ad for Blind and the Dead right there on the main page. You can click on it, type in your name, address, put in your charge card information, select your shipping method, hit submit, we'll get it and get it coming to you. Now, if you care to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. Now, I know this documentary has been out there for a while, and a number of you already have a copy. But does your neighbor have a copy? Does your family have a copy? Do you know someone who follows Benny Hinn, TBN, any of these name it, claim it, prosperity gospel preachers? They need a copy of this. You need to take care of them because they're never going to see the light unless you take that step. $31 postpaid for The Blind and the Dead DVD documentary. Okay, now let's return to our regular program. Today we are discussing heavenly fortunes, striking gold in the name of faith. We move on to Matthew Ashimolowo, forgive me for mispronouncing his name. He's worth about $10 million. He's a Nigerian pastor. He's senior pastor of London's Kingsway International Christian Center. He has a radio program titled Winning Ways, which airs in London and Amsterdam. He has a TV counterpart that's broadcast in Nigeria, Ghana, Zimbabwe, through the Trinity Broadcasting Network. And then Juanita Bynum, estimated worth about $10 million. She promotes her mantra, live it loud, live it strong. She's a protege of T.D. Jakes, who we'll get to here in a little bit. Her sermons are regularly broadcast on the Trinity Broadcasting Network. She's a singer. She sells tickets to her sermons. She's got books. Then we go to Jimmy Swaggart, the late Jimmy Swaggart, worth about $10 million when he passed. He was a Pentecostal evangelist. He started his TV ministry in 1971, but his image suffered damage in the late 1980s, early 1990s, due to allegations of engaging in sexual relations with multiple prostitutes. In 91, Swaggart's car was pulled over by the police, and he had a prostitute on board. He delivered his infamous TV message, I have sinned, to a vast TV audience. His media endeavors persisted until he passed. Then there's Peter Popoff, $10 million, televangelist. In 1996, it was exposed he was deceptively using an earpiece during his services. His wife fed him personal details about audience members, which Popoff would then claim to have received directly from God in order to perform healings. His credibility was shot when it was exposed. Somebody went in with a radio, a scanner, and they tuned in and they recorded Popoff's wife feeding him information for some of the attendees. This led to his bankruptcy in the subsequent year. But he's made several comebacks over the years. He marketed Miracle Spring Water on late night infomercials. If you called in and you asked for this Miracle Water, it also came with a bag of sacred Dead Sea salt, which you sprinkle over a check to Popoff. Then you drink the water, wait 5 days, and you will be blessed with riches. And then Popoff wants you to send him another check. This is a Christian, so-called, leader that you want to get behind, isn't it? He's taking questionnaires before people come into the auditorium. His wife's got it and then talking to him in his ear. And then after that's exposed, he starts selling this miracle water. Well, it had to fund his Porsche, his wife's expensive vehicle, their $2.1 million mansion. Goodness gracious. Then there's Temetope Bologan Joshua, worth about $15 million. He is referred to as Pastor T.B. Joshua. He's a prominent figure in Nigeria's religious landscape. He founded the Synagogue Church of All Nations. He conducts notable healing sessions, including exorcisms. He owns Emmanuel TV. His sermons and teachings are on YouTube, garnering an astounding 240 million views, monetized, of course. There's Jamal Bryant, worth about $20 million. He was a high school dropout. He returned to get his education. He attended Morehouse College and Duke University. He led the congregation at Empowerment Temple AME Church in Baltimore. But in 2018, he transitioned to New Birth Missionary Baptist Church in Atlanta when presented with an offer to become the senior pastor, accompanied by a lucrative compensation package. Now, Kirk Cameron he's on this list. Estimated worth about $20 million. Now, we know him from TV shows. And he was a big TV star when he was younger. This was during the 1980s and 90s. But Kirk is a born-again Christian. And he claims that his transformation to being a born-again Christian impacted his Hollywood ties. He has co-founded the Way of the Master, an evangelical Christian ministry, alongside evangelist Ray Comfort. Now we're going to start getting into the big money. Rick Warren, $25 million. He established Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, California. He advocates a five-point plan aimed at achieving global harmony. He's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, or he was. So it tells you all you need to know about this so-called minister. He wrote the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, sold millions and millions of copies. Lots of people followed it. Now, this name here is appropriate for one of these prosperity gospel teachers. Creflo Dollar, estimated worth about $27 million. He founded the non-denominational World Changers Church International. His ministry reaches a congregation of 30,000 members and generates an impressive revenue of $69 million in collections. He embodies the prosperity gospel. His affluent lifestyle includes ownership of two Rolls Royces, a private jet, and three lavish multi-million dollar residences. Wow. Ray McCauley, $30 million from Johannesburg, South Africa. He finished third in the Mr. Universe competition in 1974 and then transitioned to the senior pastor of Rhema Bible Church. He reaches audience through Rhema TV. He's president of the International Federation of Christian Churches and also co-chairs the National Interfaith Council of South Africa. There's Enoch Adeboye, $39 million from Nigeria, referred to as Daddy Go. He's the general overseer of Redeemed Christian Churches of God. Reportedly, he gets an annual revenue of $2 million per Forbes. He is also the proprietor of Dove TV. You know, some of these guys, Nigeria, in Africa, just kind of shocked me when I came across this list. His opulent lifestyle includes ownership of a $65 million Gulfstream G550 private jet and multiple residences. Speaking of jets, let's talk about Jesse DePlantis, $40 million. The leader of Jesse DePlantis Ministries, he boasts an international headquarters in the United States and has expanded his reach with branches in the United Kingdom and Australia. DePlantis has contended that commercial planes are rife with demons. He defends his luxury travel, asserting that if Jesus were present in today's age, he too would opt for private jets to disseminate the gospel globally. Oh, my, my, my. This one, you should already be guessing. Benny Hinn. He was born Tofik Benedictus in Israel. His career took off when he started conducting miracle crusades at the Orlando Christian Center. His television program, This Is Your Day, was featured on Trinity Broadcasting Network. He possesses a Gulfstream G4 jet. And I've got some eye-opening clips from Mr. Hinn. You know, I mentioned that we should be storing treasures in heaven and not here on earth, but Benny Hinn doesn't believe that. Listen to this.
I want to happen. I want to see it now. Now I'm sick and tired of hearing about streets of gold. I don't need gold in heaven. I got to have it now. When I get to glory, all my bills will be paid, brother. I won't have bills in glory. I won't need to worry about bills in glory. I can have it here. You say, well, Benny Hinn, isn't that wonderful to have gold, streets, and glory? Well, of course. But if I hear the thing one more time of how it will be and how it was, I'm going to kick somebody.
And then if you criticize Benny for some of his teachings? Well, this is what he had to say.
People of God, quit attacking man of God by name. Somebody's attacking me because of something I'm teaching. Let me tell you something, brother. You watch it. Dear God in heaven, I wish I can just... You know, I've looked for one verse in the Bible. I just can't seem to find it. One verse that said, if you don't like him, kill him. I really wish I could find it. But don't mention people's names on your radio program and your TV program, thinking you're doing God's service. You're not. You stink, frankly. That's the way I think about it. Sometimes I wish God would give me a Holy Ghost machine gun. I'll blow your head off.
That is a pastor you want to follow, isn't it? I wish God would give me a Holy Ghost machine gun. I'll blow your head off. Goodness gracious. And then here's a clip of Benny Hinn's wife. This is disgusting, but these are the people that are garnering millions and millions of dollars every year.
If your engine is not revving up, you know what you need? You need a Holy Ghost enema right up your rear end.
Disgusting. That's all I can say. There's Chris Oyakhilome, worth $50 million. He is leader of Believers Love World Incorporated, headquartered in Lagos. He asserts that his faith has the power to cure any ailment, even as grave as AIDS. There are facets of his ministry that include the Healing School, Rhapsody of Realities, Love World Book Series, and the non-governmental organization Inner City Missions for Children. His ministry's ownership of three Christian TV channels predominantly broadcast faith healing and miracle sessions that further accentuates his influence and reach. Then there's Hubert Angel, $60 million, a Zimbabwean clergyman. He established Spirit Embassy that was later rebranded as Good News Church. As reported by Nahanda Radio, Angel's opulent assets include a Lamborghini, Black Badge Rolls Royce, a Mercedes coupe, a sprawling mansion in England that boasts a 14-acre private garden punctuated by three lakes harboring rare fish. New on the block, Steve Furtick, estimated worth $61 million. Although he's only in his 40s, he is one of the youngest ultra-wealthy pastors. His wealth comes from donations from church members, as well as other faith-oriented entertainment ventures like his YouTube channel and book deals. Furtick preaches the prosperity gospel. Critics have argued he's more concerned with fostering a celebrity persona and lifestyle rather than preaching the gospel. He built a 16,000-square-foot mansion situated on 19 acres for $1.7 million. He reassured his congregation that the mansion was a gift from God. Wow. Now we're into big money. Pat Robertson, $100 million. He was a Southern Baptist minister in Virginia and became a formidable media magnate. Robertson is the face of the 700 Club, the cornerstone program of the Christian Broadcasting Network. He started the Christian Coalition, a Christian right entity that funded conservative political contenders. His influence extends to academia. He was the founder, CEO, and chancellor of Regent University. Then there's Emmanuel Makandiwa, $100 million as well. He's from Zimbabwe. He is the driving force behind the United Family International Megachurch, and also established the Apostolic Faith Mission. Makandiwa is at the center of discussions due to his contentious prophecies and claims of performing miracle cures. He owns Christ TV. His assets include a grand residence and a private jet. Don't they all? Joel Osteen, $100 million or more. He is a very familiar household name. His sermons are broadcast to more than 100 countries, and his arena-sized Lakewood Church is filled to the brim every Sunday. He preaches the prosperity gospel, though he takes no salary from the church. He makes something like $50 million a year from donations from the church body, from his speaking engagements and his book sales. He owns two mansions. His Houston home is valued at $2.9 million, and his River Oaks mansion is worth about $10.5 million. In 2024, he posted on X that his followers should appreciate the simple things in life. Wow. And he doesn't see anything wrong with posting that. Goodness. Ayo Aritzajafor, worth $120 million. He's known as Papa Ayo. He is behind the Word of Life Bible Church in Nigeria. He served as the national president of the Pentecostal Fellowship of Nigeria for half a decade. He was then elected president of the Christian Association of Nigeria. He owns the media giant African Broadcasting Network, an international satellite Christian TV station. It currently reaches audiences in 75 countries and is accessible globally through web TV. Then we come to T.D. Jakes. Thomas Dexter Jakes, $150 million. The Potter's House in Dallas. He had a wide audience with his The Potter's Touch TV program. He resides in a plush $1.7 million mansion. Now, he did step down as leader of Potter's House in January. David Oyedepo, $150 million as well, from Nigeria. He leads Winner's Chapel, recognized as the world's largest church congregation. He was instrumental in the foundation of the Nigerian Christian Charismatic Movement. In 1981, Oyedepo initiated the Living Faith Outreach Ministry, which has burgeoned into one of Africa's most massive congregations. Oyedepo's considerable fortune stems from a wide array of assets. This includes two prominent universities, a thriving publishing venture, and a water production company named Hebron. He owns residences in the UK and the US, as well as a fleet of four private jets. And then we come to the big daddy, the grand poobah of those who are striking gold in the name of faith. Yes, you know it. I probably don't even need to mention his name. But here it comes. Kenneth Copeland, almost a billionaire. He founded Kenneth Copeland Ministries, which sprawls over a 1,500-acre estate, which houses a church, a private airstrip, and a hangar that shelters the ministry's notable $17.5 million jet, along with other aircraft. When I first saw Kenneth Copeland on TV, I thought he looked like a snake. He's got those beady eyes. His smile seems so fake. But he has, gosh, the word that comes to mind is swindled. But people have willingly supported this man for so long. $760 million or more. Goodness. He has the Kenneth Copeland in you. His global reach is fortified by seven ministry offices worldwide. He's got the Believer's Voice of Victory TV show. He's got radio shows, podcasts, magazines, a plethora of books, and a very active presence on numerous social media platforms. And this clip that I'm going to play for you personifies everything that I feel is wrong with these televangelists and Kenneth Copeland in particular.
When I read in the Bible where he says, I am, I just smile and say, yes, I am too.
Yes, I am too. Goodness. It just makes my stomach turn when I hear that. And I can't get his grill out of my mind. And he just looks like a snake. I don't know how else to put it. And the fact that he has charmed so many people into supporting his ministry I mean, he's done a worse job than Billy Graham. It just makes my stomach sick. I'm sorry. There was a kid televangelist. His name was Marjo. And, man, he was big. He had revivals. People showed up donating tons of money, and that's all he cared about. He was trained by a bunch of false Christian leaders, so-called Christian leaders. And in this clip, he explains how a so-called pastor told him how to make easy money off of little old ladies. Listen to him explain this.
There's one guy that gets into it so heavy that he prophesies, and he told me how he did. He sat right, he looked right across the table back and forth at me, and he told me how he confiscates money. He says he's on this station, it's over 40 states. He'll go on there and he'll get on the radio and he'll say, I know that listening to my little voice tonight, that there's some lady out there and you've got $10 put away in a cookie jar. Now God spoke to my heart and told me to go and tell you to get that $10 and get it in the mail and send it to me, and God will bless you. God will give you a reward such as you have never known before. And then he comes back to me and he tells me, he says, if you're on the radio and you're going over 40 states and you're on at prime time, you've got thousands of people listening, the chances are that there are at least 200 or 300 little old ladies who've got a $10 bill in a cookie jar. And so if you even get, if a couple hundred go over and get it and send it to you, that's $2,000 that you've made just like that.
Texas talked about this numerous times, how the gullible masses were told that if they sent money to this ministry or that ministry, that they would receive a financial blessing tenfold, hundredfold, whatever came across the lips of that so-called Christian leader. And then if they contacted the ministry and said, look, I sent you my last $1,000. That was my life savings. And you said I would be blessed tenfold, hundredfold. And I haven't seen anything yet. Then the pastor would turn around and go, you didn't have enough faith. That's how they justified swindling these innocent, naive people into sending their last dime. This ministry knows that you need to pay your bills first. We have never asked for extravagant amounts of money, and we won't. Tex always said it, and I believe it with all my heart, that you pay your bills. You make sure you have food in the pantry, that all of your needs are taken care of. And then if you have anything left over and the Lord puts it on your heart to send it to this ministry, we'll happily take it to continue doing his work. We don't charge a subscription for our newsletter. We ask that you make a purchase of a book, a video, an audio program to help us offset the costs of printing and postage. But we don't want you to send every dime you have to this ministry. I asked last week if you could help us with publishing, printing a couple books. Well, we've got a number of books that we need to get printed. And some of you have responded, and we are so thankful for your help. We continue to need your help, and we really need your prayers. I want to thank you for tuning in and giving me an hour of your time. I greatly appreciate it. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.